Galatians 5, 16, and stand with me as we read the Holy Scriptures. Galatians 5, 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are... You know, one of my favorite things in our modern society is our modern utilities. Don't you love the fact that in the summer you can go home and it's cool in the house? Assuming you've paid your bill and assuming your air conditioner works, it's cool in the house. And don't you love it that in the wintertime when it's 30, 40 degrees outside, it's warm in your house? And don't you love it that you can walk into your house and turn on the lights and see and turn on your TV or turn on your computer? Don't you love utilities? Let me tell you, one of my favorite utilities is trash pickup. Think about it for a second. We live in a modern society. If you lived in Papua New Guinea, you do not have trash pickup. But in our modern society, four people can live in my house, eating multiple meals a week, getting a huge stack of mail, breaking toys, breaking things, throwing things away, accumulating a massive amount of trash, and on Thursday morning, I put it all in a big brown trash can and roll it out to the curb, and someone takes it away. And it happens every single week. I accumulate more and more trash, and I put it in the brown can, and I roll it out to the end of the curb, and someone takes it away. Over and over and over again. Wouldn't it be awesome if you could accumulate trash, put it in the trash bin, pull it out to the curb, and waste management came by, and not only did they remove the trash, but they replaced it with good things. I could put a pizza box in the trash and roll it out there, and as the truck comes by, the smell of cheese and pepperoni would come, and they'd give me a brand new pizza. Wouldn't that be awesome? Put an old TV, shove an old TV out there, call for trash pickup, and they bring me a brand new 60-inch flat-screen TV for the Super Bowl. Amen. Wouldn't that be awesome? The Holy Spirit does that. Look at verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is the trash. And if you will surrender to the Holy Spirit, He will take out the trash. And He doesn't just roll it away. If you will walk by the Spirit, He will take out the trash of your heart and He will replace it with verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart and soften your heart and help you to see the trash in your heart? And as the Word of God is preached, would you pray right now that the Holy Spirit would lead you to remove the trash and replace it with the beautiful fruit of the Spirit? You pray right now. Will you pray right now for the other people in this room? That God, by the power of His Holy Spirit, would open their hearts and touch their hearts. And by the incredible loving act of the Holy Spirit, show them the trash in their heart. And lead them to forsake the trash and embrace the beautiful fruit of the Spirit. Will you pray for me that I would preach accurately and therefore powerfully? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Thanks for hanging in there with me. I know that we broke a record there on standing. Brothers and sisters, God created us to be a reflection of His moral goodness. But sin has come in and damaged us. We are like a damaged telescope. Our ability to reflect the light of God's holiness has been corrupted by sin. There is trash in my heart. There is trash in your heart. And the Holy Spirit is there to take out the trash. What does the trash look like? How can you identify the trash? It is not difficult. Why is it not difficult? Look at verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. Brothers and sisters, the deeds of the flesh are obvious. We don't have to wonder what they are. Look behind me at 1 John 3:10. By this the children of God and the children of devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. The trash in our hearts are obvious, and they are clearly demonstrated in the following. Look at verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. The first word in the list of trash is immorality. Immorality. And brothers and sisters, because immorality is such a huge problem in our world and in the church, we will spend the rest of our time on that one word. Immorality is the Greek word porneia. Porneia, we get our English word pornography. Interesting word. The Greek word for prostitute is porne. An immoral person is pornos. In Galatians 5:16, immorality is porneia. Porneia. Porneia is a general word. It's a very broad word. It's not a specific word. Porneia in the Greek language describes all forms of sexual sin. All forms of sexual sin. So before we talk about porneia, we need to define what specifically sexual sin is. But first, where does sexual sin come from? In your notes, sexual immorality is the result of a corrupted and damaged heart. Sexual immorality is the result of a corrupted, damaged heart. We get that from Matthew 15:19. You can look that up later. But the point is this: God wants to clean you up. Praise His holy name. Praise His holy name. In your notes, what specifically is sexual immorality? We have a definition there, very simple. Sexual immorality is sexual activity outside of marriage between a man and a woman. Sexual immorality is sexual activity outside of marriage between a man and a woman. Sexual immorality comes in three basic forms. I have no intention of going into all the details about sexual immorality. A detailed talk about sex from the pulpit would probably be inappropriate. But we can categorize it in three basic areas. Number one, homosexuality is sexual immorality. Homosexuality is sexual immorality. Given you three verses there, we'll look at one of them. Look behind me at 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. It's popular today to say that we get our stand against homosexuality from the Old Testament. The Old Testament is no longer valid. That argument is not valid. But to take that away, I've given you only New Testament verses. Why is homosexuality wrong? Why is it wrong? Homosexuality is wrong because it rejects God's gift to man. It rejects God's gift to man. Would you please keep your finger in Galatians 5 and turn with me to the marriage passage, Genesis 2:18. Such a wonderful passage. Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." Helper suitable. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife. The two shall become one flesh." The man and his wife were both naked and not ashamed. God saw that it was not good for the man to be alone, and God, in his infinite goodness, God, in his infinite wisdom, God, as the divine lover and the divine giver, gave man the most beautiful gift. And that gift is woman. Marriage between a man and a woman powerfully displays the goodness and wisdom of God. It is his perfect, awesome plan. James chapter 1, 17 is behind me. "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." Homosexuality is man rejecting God's gift. It is woman rejecting God's purpose for her. We've all been to Christmas. Christmas is a wonderful time. We've all been to Christmas, and you've all seen children open gifts that they do not want. We've all experienced that. Some kids will just throw a fit right there. Some kids have been encouraged and trained by their parents to show gratitude. And all the adults are around, and you see the kid opening the gift. "Thank you." And all the adults can see that they hate it, but thank you. Homosexuality is people saying to God, "No, thank you. Your plan for humanity does not work, God." And listen to these words. I thought about them very carefully. Homosexuality is man saying to God, "I prefer something else." What else is sexual immorality? On your notes, number 2. Adultery is sexual immorality. Adultery is sexual immorality. For that, I've given you Proverbs 6:32 and Hebrews 13:4. Proverbs 6:32 is behind me. "The one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. He who would destroy himself does it." Why is adultery wrong? In your notes, under number 2. Marriage is to be a beautiful reflection of the relationship between Christ and his church. Marriage is to be a beautiful reflection of the relationship between Christ and his church. I actually gave you Hebrews 13:4 and I forgot it, but Chrissy has it. So look behind me, Hebrews 13:4. "Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge." Now let's look at A again. Marriage is to be a beautiful reflection of the relationship between Christ and his church. We see that in the other beautiful passage about marriage, Hebrews 5:22-33. "The husband is to reflect Christ's love and faithfulness to his people." The husband is to show the world the love of Christ by loving his wife. The wife is to demonstrate to the world faithfulness and submission by respecting and submitting to her husband. Marriage is a beautiful picture of God's relationship with us. In your notes, when a person commits adultery, they dishonor their Creator and their Savior. You can see this beautiful picture of marriage not only in the New Testament, but also very powerfully in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we know that Israel forsook God and worshiped idols. When God condemned them for forsaking Him and worshiping idols, He called them prostitutes. You can see this all over the Old Testament, but perhaps most powerfully in the book of Ezekiel. Would you keep your finger in Galatians 5 and turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel 16 is a very powerful passage. I hope that you're reading the Bible all the way through, cover to cover, so that you will never miss passages like Ezekiel 16. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, make known to Jerusalem her abominations, and say, Thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, Your origin and your birth are from the land of the Canaanite. Your father was an Amorite, your mother a Hittite. As for your birth, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut. He's talking to Israel. Nor were you washed with water for cleansing. You were not rubbed with salt or even wrapped in cloths. No eye looked with pity on you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. Rather, you were thrown into the open field, for you were abhorred on the day you were born. He's talking to Israel. When I, that is God, passed by you and saw you squirming in your blood, I said to you while you were in your blood, Live! Yes, I said to you while you were in your blood, live. I made you numerous like plants of the field. Then you grew up, became tall, and reached the age for fine ornaments. Your breasts were formed, your hair had grown, yet you were naked and bare. Then I passed by you and saw you, and behold, you were at the time for love. So I, this is God, I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. I also swore to you and entered into a covenant with you that you should become mine, declares the Lord God. What a wonderful picture of love for God to Israel. Then I bathed you with water, washed off your blood from you, and anointed you with oil. I clothed you with embroidered cloth and put sandals of porpoise skin on your feet. I wrapped you with fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments, put bracelets on your hands and a necklace around your neck. I put a ring in your nostril, earrings in your ears, a beautiful crown on your head. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver. Your dress was of fine linen, silk, and embroidered cloth. You ate fine flour, honey and oil, so you were exceedingly beautiful and advanced to royalty. Your fame went forth among the nations on account of your beauty, for it was perfect because of my splendor which I bestowed on you, declares the Lord God. But you trusted in your beauty and played the harlot because of your fame. You poured out your harlotries on every passerby who might be willing. He's talking to Israel. And what he's saying is, you forsook me and you worshiped Baal, Asherah, Moloch, these detestable gods of the Canaanites. Verse 16. You took some of your clothes, made for yourself high places of various colors, and played the harlot on them, which should never come about nor happen. You also took your beautiful jewels made of my gold and of my silver, which I had given you, and made for yourself male images that you might play the harlot with them. Then you took your embroidered cloth and covered them and offered my oil and my incense before them. Also my bread which I gave you, fine flour, oil, and honey which I fed you, you would offer before them for a soothing aroma. So it happened, declares the Lord. Moreover, you took your sons and daughters whom you'd born to me and sacrificed them to idols to be devoured. Were your harlotries so small a matter? You slaughtered my children and offered them up to idols by causing them to pass through the fire. Besides all your abominations and harlotries, you did not remember the days of your youth when you were naked and bare and squirming in your blood. Then it came about after all your wickedness. Woe to you, declares the Lord, that you built yourself a shrine, made yourself a high place in every square. You built yourself a high place at the top of every street and made your beauty abominable. You spread your legs and made to every passerby to multiply your harlotry. You also played the harlot with the Egyptians, your lustful neighbors, and multiplied your harlotry to make me angry. Behold, now I've stretched out my hand against you and diminished your rations. I've delivered you up to the desire of those who hate you, the daughters of the Philistines who are ashamed of your lewd conduct. Moreover, you played the harlot with the Assyrians because you were not satisfied. You played the harlot with them, and still you were not satisfied. You also multiplied your harlotry in the land of merchants, Chaldea, yet even with this you were not satisfied. How languishing is your heart, declares the Lord God. Why you do all these things, the actions of a bold-faced harlot, when you built your shrine at the beginning of every street and made your high place in every square, in disdaining money, you are not like a harlot. You, adulterous wife who takes strangers instead of her husband. God speaks to Israel, and he says, I am your husband. And by forsaking me and going after idols, you have committed adultery. I want to drive the point home, brothers and sisters. This is in your notes. In the Bible, God uses marriage as an illustration of his relationship with his people. Trinity Baptist, marriage brings glory to God. Marriage displays to the world the love and faithfulness of God, and when we commit adultery, God is dishonored. Number three, sex outside of marriage is sexual immorality. Sex outside of marriage is sexual immorality. This is very important. It is tragic that we have to drive this point home, but you know and I know that in our society, sex between consenting adults is totally acceptable. It is a tragedy that our society now accepts sex between consenting adults as totally okay, whether or not they are married. This is a relatively recent event. You're saying, Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. There's been sex outside of marriage for years. That is true. Even centuries, that is true. But all you need to do is watch a sitcom from the 50s or 60s or 70s to see that society in general, though it was practiced, did not accept sex outside of marriage. Amen. Watch a sitcom today, amen, and you will see it is totally different. Yes. Our society is slipping into the moral filth of sexual immorality, and the church must be light. Our society is depending on us. Without the church, our society will slide all the way into the abyss. They need us to show them the way. we have to keep our morals strong. Paul writes 1 Corinthians to the church in the city of Corinth, and it seems that in Corinth, some people were indulging in sex too much. So he writes 1 Corinthians 6 for them. But there's an interesting passage after 1 Corinthians 6. It also seems that in Corinth, some people were going too far the other way and abstaining from sex entirely, even in marriage. So see, Corinth is all messed up. You've got people that are having sex with anybody. And then as an overreaction, as an inappropriate overreaction to that, the people over here are saying, let's not have sex at all, even in marriage. Paul writes 1 Corinthians 7 for these people. Look at it with me. Please turn to 1 Corinthians 7. I want to show you something fascinating. First Corinthians 7. Now concerning the things about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. But because of immorality, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another, he says to these people. Stop depriving one another, except by agreement for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this by way of concession, not of command. Yet I wish that all men were even as I myself am. However, each man has his own gift from God, one in this manner, another from that. I say to the unmarried and to widows that it is good for them if they remain even as I. But if they do not have self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Fascinating passage. Paul says, husband and wives have a duty to each other. What is that duty? It is to fulfill sexual needs. Paul says this, husband and wives have a duty to one another to fulfill sexual needs to the best of their ability. Why? Why is that the duty of the husband and wife? Why is that their duty? Very simple, because sex is blessed by God, and marriage is the only place where it is appropriate. Look at verse 7. You can see this loud and clear in verse 7. Yet I wish that all men were even as I myself am. However, each man has his own gift from God, one in this manner, another in that. I say to the unmarried and to widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I. But if they do not have self-control, let them marry. It's better to marry than to burn with passion. This is fascinating. If you read all of 1 Corinthians 7, and you should, you will see that throughout it, Paul is urging people to remain single. He goes out of his way to tell us that it's not a command from God. He goes out of his way to say that if you do get married, it is okay. You do not sin. But because of possibly a specific circumstance in Corinth at the time, and because Paul wants to secure undivided devotion to the Lord, he says several times in 1 Corinthians 7, remain single. It's good to remain single. It's good to remain single. So what's his point? His point is you should remain single. But in verse 9, he makes this startling statement. If you cannot control yourself, it's better to marry. Because it's better to marry than to burn with passion. Why would someone who is driving home the point you should remain single, why would someone who wants to try to persuade people to remain single say, if you can't control yourself, you should get married? The answer is simple. Look at it in your notes. You can't have sex unless you get married. There's another wonderful passage with Jesus talking to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Look at it behind me. John 4:15, Jesus and the woman at the well are talking. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I may not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." He said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have correctly said, I have no husband. For you've had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly." It is obvious to me, and it should be obvious to you, that Jesus here is convicting her of sin. Very important that she sees her sexual sin so that she knows she needs the living water. Jesus says, "You're right, you don't have a husband. You've had five, and now you haven't even bothered to get married. You're just living with a guy. You can't have sex unless you get married." Well, what is the ethic that we should all be living for? Hopefully you're in 1 Corinthians 7. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. Turn with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says the two shall become one flesh. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. When we talk about sin, the reason we fall into temptation is you're focused on the sin. You're focused on that forbidden fruit. It's drawing you to it, and you're fighting against it. You're looking at it. Oh, look at what I'm missing. Oh, God, give me strength. Help me to overcome this temptation. You're focused on it. The key is to get your mind off the sin and onto the Lord. Amen. What's the positive ethic? It's in your notes. We must glorify God with our bodies. That is what we are to be focused on. Don't focus on the sex that you're missing. Focus on the God that you love and want to honor. Sexual sin is totally inappropriate for children of God. Look at Ephesians 5:3. Immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. It is God's will that his children avoid sexual immorality. Paul tells us to put sexual immorality aside. Look at Colossians 3 behind me. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. It is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. What is God's will for you? What is God's will for you? God loves you, and this is his will. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. And as I said before, God loves you, and sexual immorality is trash in your heart. Don't you want God to clean it out? Look at Matthew 15 behind me. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and slanders. Brothers and sisters, sex is a gift from God. Sex within marriage is a beautiful gift of God. Sex should bring him glory. Sex should show the world that God is good. And God blesses his children with good things. God created sex not only to have babies, but to enjoy, because he loves us. Sex is wonderful when it is pure and holy in marriage. Don't let Satan corrupt God's beautiful gift to you. Brothers and sisters, think of how it would bring God glory. Think of how it would bring God glory. Think of how it would adorn the gospel if we were sexually pure. What if this valley and around the world, Christian men were known for sexual purity? Wouldn't that be awesome? What would happen if around this valley and around the world, Christian men were known for sexual purity? What if in this valley and around the world, Christian women were known for sexual purity? The world would have nothing bad to say about my Lord Jesus. Jesus says they would see our good deeds and they would glorify God. Trinity Baptist, sexual immorality is the trash that God wants to take out of your heart. Forsake it and embrace the beautiful fruit of purity. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, where would we be without you? Where would we be without you? Every single one of us would be lost in sin and night and destroying ourselves. This sin of sexual immorality is so epidemic in our world today. Heavenly Father, we love you and we surrender to your love. Come and take it out of our hearts and make us pure and holy people. In Jesus' name, amen.